it is King Arthur, and these are my knights of the Round Table. Whose castle is this?
This is the castle of my master, Guido Luamba.
Go and tell your master that we have been charged by God with a sacred quest. If he will give us food and shelter for the night, he can join us in our quest for the Holy Grail.
Well, I'll ask him, but I don't think he'll be very keen. He's already got one, you see?
What?
He says they've already got one.
Are you sure he's got one?
Oh, yes, it's very nice.
I told them we already got one.
Well, can we come up and have a look?
Of course not. You are English types.
Well, what are you then?
I'm French. Why do you think I have this outrageous accent, you silly king?
What are you doing in England?
Mind your own business.
If you will not show us the Grail, we shall take your castle by force.
You don't frighten us, English pig dogs. Go and boil your bottom, sons of a silly person. I'll blow my nose at you, so-called Arthur King. You and all your silly English kniggets.
What a strange person.
Now look here, my good man.
I don't want to talk to you no more, you empty-headed animal food trough whopper. I fart in your general direction. Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberries.
Is there someone else up there we can talk to?
Glimmer cried out.
It's a horde slave transport. They're loading the villagers into it.
The rebels had to stop the horde villains. Even though they were greatly outnumbered by the horde troopers, Glimmer's troops fought bravely. Just when it seemed that the rebels would be defeated, Prince Adam transformed himself and Cringer into He-Man and Battle Cat.
By the power of Grayskull!
Soon, the battle narrowed down to just two fighters, He-Man and Force Captain Adora. When He-Man pointed the sword of protection at Adora, it began to glow. Adora's face appeared in the jewel. He-Man was amazed.
What? Why, you. You're the one I came to find.
Is that so?
Snarled Adora, and she quickly signaled a horde trooper to fire off a blast from his energy baton, sending He-Man crumbling to the ground.
You're mine now, stranger. You and this curious sword.
When Adora brought her prisoner to Hordak, the evil ruler imprisoned He-Man on Beast Island. But Madame Raz used a magic spell to find out where He-Man was. Then she used her powers again to make a magic flying boat and flew Bo and the rebels to Beast Island. But before the rebels could attack, the evil Hordak struck again. He shot down their flying boat, and they crash-landed on the island. He-Man was held down by glowing magical chains in the plunder room when Adora came to him carrying the sword.
I'm Adora, Fourth Captain Adora. And your name?
My name is He-Man.
This sword you carried intrigues me, He-Man. It feels as if it were made just for me.
I thought it was.
And now you don't.
I was to give that sword to someone who served the forces of good. But you serve the forces of evil.
Evil? You're the one who served evil, Rebel. I serve the rightful rulers of Etheria.
You can't believe that. Haven't you seen how the Horde treats people?
Well, I've spent most of my life training in the Fright Zone. There's been little time to see the rest of Etheria.
Then why don't you do it now? Or are you afraid of learning the truth about the Horde?
I'm afraid of nothing.
Then you'll go?
I'll think about it.
Adora mounted her horse, Spirit, and headed for the prison gate.
Horse, take your business!
Force Captain Adora on a secret mission for Hordak. Open the gate, trooper.
Once she was off the island, Adora told Spirit,
Well, Spirit, now we'll prove to ourselves that He-Man was lying, huh?
of Sir Robin.
So each of the knights went their separate ways. Sir Robin rode north through the dark forest of Ewing, accompanied by his favorite minstrels.
Bravely bold Sir Robin rode forth from Camelot. He was not afraid to die, oh brave Sir Robin. He was not at all afraid to be killed in nasty ways. Brave, 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 brave Sir Robin. He was not in the least bit scared to be mashed into a pulp, or to have his eyes gouged out and his elbows broken, to have his kneecap split and his body burned away, and his limbs all hacked and mangled, brave Sir Robin. His head smashed in and his heart cut out, and his liver removed and his bowels unplugged, and his nostrils raped and his bottom burnt off and his penis...
That's enough music for now, lads. Looks like there's dirty work afoot.
Halt! Yes, it was the dreaded three-headed knight, the fiercest creature for yards around. For second after second, Robin held his own, but the onslaught proved too much for this brave knight. Scarcely was his armor damped when Robin suddenly, dramatically changed his tactics.
He's buggered off.
So he has, he's scarpered.
Brave Sir Robin ran away.
No!
Bravely ran away, away.
I didn't.
When danger reared its ugly head, he bravely turned his tail and
no!
fled. His brave Sir Robin turned about.
I didn't.
He chickened out.
Meanwhile, back on Beast Island, the rebels found He-Man. But before they could free him, Hordak and his villains entered the plunder room, and Shadow Weaver put all the rebels under a spell. He-Man shouted in a rage.
You villain, what have you done to them?
They are merely paralyzed for a time. Better to ask what I will do to them if you do not tell me why you have come to Etheria.
When He-Man refused to talk, Hordak left, warning that he would be back to get He-Man's answer. Once they were gone, Cowl came flying in.
Might I be of some assistance?
Can you get me loose?
Using his amazing intelligence, Cowl found the right buttons on Hordak's control board. One push and He-Man's chains fell away.
You've done it! Now let's go find our friends. I've had enough of this place.
Oh, I find it rather unpleasant myself.
He-Man burst into his rebel friend's cell and freed him. Once he got them safely off the island, he destroyed the prison forever.
Well, that's one prison the Horde will have to do without.
Meanwhile, Adora had been wandering through Etheria and seeing for herself how cruelly the Horde troopers treated the people. Returning to the Fright Zone, she faced Hordak and Shadow Weaver. Hordak demanded,
Adora, where have you been?
I've been seeing for myself how we rule Etheria.
What have you discovered?
You lied to me, both of you. The Horde is evil, cruel, unjust. The people hate us, and with good cause.
Now, let me help you, child.
Shadow Weaver moved towards Adora.
Stay away!
Surely you would not harm me, Adora. Am I not like a mother to you?
I...
You will see things clearer after some sleep.
Said Shadow Weaver as she put Adora under an enchanted spell. Hordak was worried.
First this He-Man arrives, and now Adora turns against me.
Well, remember who she really is.
Yes, yes.
Hordak would stop at nothing to keep Adora loyal to him and to destroy his enemies. He had devised a dangerous new weapon, the Magna Beam Transporter, which could send anything or anyone wherever he wished. Its energy ray was powered by draining the strength and willpower of captured rebels, Hordak boasted.
Once the Magna Beam is at full power, I will transport the entire Whispering Woods to the Valley of the Lost!
and all the rebels with it!
Back in Whispering Woods, Glimmer tried to persuade Adam not to go back and fight Hordak.
But Adam, mission or no mission, it's foolish for you to go to the Fright Zone. Oh, you'll be captured. Stay with us in the safety of Whispering Woods.
Well, even the Whispering Woods are not safe from the Horde. I have to get going.
Once he was out of Glimmer's sight, Adam transformed again into He-Man.
By the power of Grayskull!
He-Man!
He-Man then captured a Horde trooper and disguised himself in the trooper's clothes. But Shadow Weaver's cunning magic saw through his disguise, and she advised Hordak.
If we capture him, he will supply the Magna Beam with all the energy it needs. And with the Magna Beam charged...
I'll send the rebels to a place where they'll never bother me again!
Meanwhile, King Arthur and Sir Bedivere, not more than a swallow's flight away, had discovered something.
Who are you?
We are the knights who say... Ni!
No, not the knights who say ni.
The same!
Who are they?
We are the keepers of the sacred words. Ni! Peng and Ni-Wom.
Those who hear them seldom live to tell the tale.
The knights who say Ni demand a sacrifice.
Knights of Ni, we are but simple travelers who seek the enchanter who lives beyond these woods.
Ni! Ni! Ni!
Ow!
Ni!
No! No!
Ni! 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 We shall say Ni again to you if you do not appease us.
Well, what is it you want?
We want... a shrubbery!
A what?
Ni! Ni! Ni!
Please, please, no more! We will find you a shrubbery.
You must return here with a shrubbery, or else you will never pass through this wood alive!
Oh, knights of Ni, you are just and fair, and we will return with a shrubbery.
One that looks nice.
Of course.
And not too expensive.
Yes.
Now, go!
In the dead of night, atop a lonely mountain, the wind howls an evil song, beckoning weak and twisted souls to follow a dark and winding path, leading to the iron gates of the Demon Tower. Inside the tower, hooded figures with ghoulish eyes and death-eaten faces walk in slow procession toward a large golden altar. Above the altar, upon a golden throne, sits the red-eyed barbarian Demon King.
Bring Rihanna to demons.
Oh, oh.
Yeah, master. Yes, yes. Demon knows Rihanna, pretty thing. For the ritual, for demon, yes.
From what dark pit in hell did you crawl?
No pit. Banshee will make you ready for demon.
Oh, free me.
Banshee, prepare her to die.
Rihanna is dragged from the hall and taken to a prison cell. There, her dress is stripped from her body and she is chained to the cell wall. There she must wait for the sacrificial ritual to begin.
Guards, take this rebel to the plunder room and put him in the Magna Beam charger. His energy should be all I need to charge the Magna Beam to full capacity.
The charger? No, please, you can't.
Do you have an objection, Force Captain?
Seeing Adora getting stronger, Shadow Weaver cast another spell. Adora grew weak again.
No objections, my liege. To the plunder room with the rebels.
That night, Adora's sleep was disturbed by strange dreams.
No, no. It's evil. No.
and a message from the sorceress. Adora awakened with new strength.
Something strange is happening. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to find out.
O Knights of Ni, we have brought you your shrubbery. May we go now?
It is a good shrubbery. I like the laurels particularly. But there is one small problem.
What is that?
We are now no longer the knights who say Nick. We are now the knights who say Therefore, we must give you a test.
What is this test, O knights of knights who till recently said Ni?
Firstly, you must find another shrubbery.
Not another shrubbery.
Then, when you have found the shrubbery, you must place it here beside this shrubbery, only slightly higher, so you get a two-level effect with a little path running down the middle. Then, when you have found the shrubbery, you must cut down the mightiest tree in the forest with a herring.
Welcome back to the rear stalls. There seems to have been a slight hitch with the film here at Silbury Hill. I can see Vincent Wong, the Sino-Scottish projectionist, lashed to his projector, beating himself with a stick as he tries to put on the next reel, which the enormous grizzly is trying to prise from his grasp. And yes, it is on. It's on. All right, I'm sorry about the delay, and back to the film.
Adora went immediately to the plunder room, where she saw how He-Man's strength was draining. Then the face of the sorceress appeared in the jewel of her strange new sword. The sorceress spoke.
Adora, the time has come for you to seek your destiny. You must throw off the enchantments that have made you a slave to the Horde's will. Let your heart guide you toward the path that you know to be right. And let this sword give you the strength to follow that path. Use that strength to protect the weak and to help right the wrongs committed by the Horde. And let your first duty be to this man about to be enslaved by the Horde.
A rebel warrior?
He is no ordinary rebel, Adora. He is He-Man, hero and champion on the side of goodness. But to you, Adora, he is also something more. Adora, the Horde stole you from your parents when you were a tiny baby, so you never knew your mother, and you never knew your father. But you also had a twin brother. This man is your brother, Adora. And Adora, he needs your help. For the honor of Greyskull, Adora.
For the honor of Greyskull?
For the honor of Greyskull!
In a burst of magic, Adora transformed into She-Ra, the Princess of Power.
Back here at the Classic, I have good news that Vincent Wong, horribly mutilated though he is, his partly dismembered shoulder bound together with an old print of top hat, has managed to select the correct reel, and we're back with Monty Python and the Holy Grail once again.
As Sir Lancelot, the boldest and most expensive of the knights, lost his way in the Forest of Ewing, at nearby Swamp Castle, a celebration was underway.
One day, lad, all this will be yours.
What, the curtains?
No, not the curtains, lad. All that you can see stretched out over the hills and valleys of this land. That will be your kingdom, lad.
But mother.
Father, lad, father.
But father, I don't want any of that.
Listen, lad. I built this kingdom up from nothing. When I started here, all there was swamp. Well, the king said it was daft to build a castle on a swamp. But I built it all the same, just to show them. They sank into the swamp. So, I built a second one. That sank into the swamp. So I built a third one. That burned down, fell over, then sank into the swamp. But the fourth one stayed up. And that's what you're going to get, lad. The strongest castle in these isles.
But I don't want any of that. I'd rather...
Rather what?
I'd rather just sing.
Stop that, stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here. Now listen, lad. In 20 minutes, you're getting married to a girl whose father owns the biggest tracts of open land in Britain.
But I don't want land.
Listen, Alice.
Herbert.
We live on a bloody swamp. We need all the land we can get.
But I don't like her.
Don't like her? What's wrong with her? She's beautiful, she's rich, she's got huge tracts of land.
No, but I want the girl that I marry to have a certain special something.
Cut that out! You're marrying Princess Lucky, so you better get used to the idea. Guards! Make sure the prince doesn't leave this room until I come and get him.
Not to leave the room, even if you come and get him.
No. Until I come and get him.
Until you come and get him, we're not to enter the room.
No. You stay in the room and make sure he doesn't leave.
And you'll come and get him.
Right.
We don't need to do anything apart from just stop him entering the room.
No. Leaving the room.
Leaving the room, yes.
All right?
Right. Oh, if
look, it's quite simple. You just stay here and make sure he doesn't leave the room. All right?
Yes. Oh, I remember. Can he leave the room with us?
No. You just keep him in here. And make sure...
Oh, yes, we'll keep him in here, obviously. But if he had to leave and we weren't with him...
Just keep him in here...
Until you or anyone else...
No, not anyone else, just me.
Just you.
Get back. Right?
Right, we'll stay here until you get back.
And make sure he doesn't leave.
What?
Make sure he doesn't leave.
The prince?
Yes, make sure he doesn't leave.
Oh, yes, of course. I thought you meant him. You know, it seemed a bit daft me having to guard him when he's a guard.
Is that clear?
Oh, quite clear. No problems.
Right. Where are you going?
We're coming with you.
No, I want you to stay here and make sure he doesn't leave.
Oh, I see. Right.
But Father!
Shut your noise, you, and get that suit on. And no singing!
Oh. Hordak had imprisoned He-Man in the plunder room to drain his strength and charge his evil magna beam. Now that she knew the truth about herself, She-Ra was determined to help her long-lost brother.
Oh, my brother, what have they done? Can I do anything? The guards will be here any second.
Who are you?
A friend who wants to help you.
The sword. The power. My sword.
Of course. The sword of power.
She-Ra tossed He-Man his sword, which he hid just as Hordak and his guards burst into the room. Hordak was pleased to see how weak He-Man was, and how his magna beam was now fully charged.
Guards! Take these rebels at your leisure. I shall go upstairs to activate the magna beam.
Magna beam? What's a magna beam?
Don't ask. We have to stop him.
I'll take care of that. You go warn the rebellion.
Right. Good luck.
As she mounted her horse Spirit to ride away, She-Ra called.
Go, Spirit!
Before her eyes, Spirit was transformed into a winged unicorn.
Spirit!
I am Swiftwind now, dear friend,
he said as they flew off. Meanwhile, back in the prison, He-Man followed Hordak up to the roof and surprised him at his magna beam by pushing up through the floor.
Pretty good, Rebel, but not good enough. I'm activating the magna beam.
This will take care of Whispering Woods.
Oh, no. Hordak has turned on the magna beam. I've got to do something. Wait. That big rock just might do it. Down, Swiftwind!
Using her amazing powers, She-Ra tossed a boulder high into the air to intercept the magna beam. The boulder exploded with a fury. Hordak screamed.
No! My magna beam wasted on a rock! Well, I still have enough power for a second shot.
Sorry,
said He-Man, as he punched the magna beam projector and split it wide open. The energy trapped inside it was released, and in moments the prisoners grew strong again.
What happened? Where are we?
I don't know what happened, but my energy is returning, and I know exactly where we're going.
Back to the rebellion, men!
Meanwhile, Wolf Angel reaches the gravel path leading to the Demon Tower. Before him stands two stone statues resembling ancient hellhounds with snarling faces, large evil eyes, and deadly claws.
Why have you come, warrior?
I must pass to the tower.
You will never pass alive!
The statues! You're alive!
From Wolf Angel's right, a growling wild hellhound pounces upon him, scratching and clawing him to the ground. The hound's teeth and claws tear into his body as they grapple on the gravel path.
Now, hound, feel the bite of my sword.
It will be of no use. I am wrought of stone.
Of stone you were, but flesh you have become. Off with your head!
Yet another hound leaps on him from behind, throwing him from his feet. Warrior and animal roll and grapple on the dark ground. The sharp fangs of the hound sink deep into Wolf Angel's right shoulder.
I'm wounded. I must reach the dagger in my boot. There. Got it.
Wolf Angel thrusts the dagger upward into the hound's belly. The animal becomes rigid and rolls over dead onto the path. Weak and tired, Wolf Angel makes his way toward the tower.
An outstanding performance there, Sir Alf.
Yes, he's certainly very tremendous in terms of his talking and moving and gesturing and being an actor in general. In fact, in terms of his acting, I would say.
Cho In Lai.
I was tempted to recall the Grenadier Guards in the role of Macbeth.
Come, let us fight thee. We have not, and yet we see thee still.
The finest masked Shakespearean tragic hero I've certainly ever seen. Sir Alf.
Well, we're going back to join the film in the 62nd minute in terms of the where there's been fighting and killing of the knights by the rabbit in general.
Run away! Run away! Run away!
Right, how many did we lose?
Gawain,
Hector, and Bors, that's five.
Frita?
Three. We better not risk another frontal assault. That rabbit's dynamite.
Would it help to confuse it if we ran away more?
Oh, shut up
and go and change your armor.
Let us taunt it. It may become so cross that it will make a mistake.
Like what?
Well,
have we got those?
No.
We have the holy hand grenade.
Yes, of course. The holy hand grenade of Antioch. It is one of the sacred relics Brother Maynard carries with him.
Brother Maynard, bring up the holy hand grenade.
Yes, O Domine.
Dona eis requiem.
Yes, O Domine.
Dona eis requiem.
How does it work?
I know not, my liege.
Consult the Book of Armaments.
Armaments, chapter 2, verses 9 to 21.
And St. Attila raised the hand grenade up on high, saying, O Lord, bless this thy hand grenade, that with it thou mayst blow thine enemies to tiny bits in thy mercy. And the Lord did grin, and the people did feast upon the lambs and sloths and carp and anchovies and orangutans and breakfast cereals and fruit bats and large...
Skip a bit, brother.
And the Lord spake, saying, First shalt thou take out the holy pin. Then shalt thou count to three. No more, no less. Three shall be the number thou shalt count, and the number of the counting shall be three. Four shalt thou not count, neither count thou two, excepting that thou then proceed to three. Five is right out. Once the number three, being the third number, be reached, then lobbest thou thy holy hand grenade of Antioch towards thy foe, who, being not in my sight, shall snuff it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
One, two, five.
Three, sir.
Three.
Enraged that his magna beam projector was destroyed, Hordak turned on He-Man. But She-Ra swooped down on Swiftwind and carried He-Man off.
Poor Hordak. He's had a pretty frustrating day. Thanks for the rescue. By the way, you were just in time.
Well, what are sisters for, anyway?
Sister? What do you mean?
He-Man, I think we have a lot to talk about.
When She-Ra explained how the sorceress appeared to her and told her who she really was, the sorceress appeared again. This time, she spoke to He-Man and She-Ra together.
Many years ago, twins were born to Randor, King of Eternia, and his queen, Marlena. Those babies were you, Adam, and Adora.
My parents. My real parents.
To have two such fine children brought great joy to the king and queen. But that joy was soon to turn to sorrow, and the cause of that sorrow was a force from another dimension, a force known as the Horde. Led by a vicious tyrant called Hordak, the Horde attempted to conquer Eternia. But they were no match for your father's brave soldiers and the magic of Castle Grayskull. So Hordak hatched a vile plot. He knew you were both destined for something special, though he did not know exactly what. So he crept into the palace, determined to steal you both away. With him went his favorite pupil, Skeletor.
Once the sorceress had finished the story of the kidnapping, She-Ra exclaimed,
My whole life is changed because of this sword.
I know, and you should give yourself some time to think things over. But there is something you can do right now.
What's that?
Give your brother a big hug.
He-Man and She-Ra hugged each other, then transformed themselves back into Adam and Adora. They returned to Whispering Woods and surprised the rebels with the news that their former enemy, Force Captain Adora, was really Adam's sister.
That's right. Adora's my sister. She was only serving the Horde because of one of Shadow Weaver's evil spells.
But I've broken it, and from now on, I'm with the Rebellion.
Rihanna is taken from her cell and led into the Demon King's hall.
Stay away from me!
Rihanna, the ritual begins.
Oh!
Banshee, bind her wrists and ankles to Demon's altar. There you are, nice and comfy.
No! If I could break through these ties, I'd strangle you.
Silence!
The king draws a sparkling crystal dagger from a belt around his waist and holds it aloft, pointing towards Rihanna's heart.
Rihanna, look into the light of the dagger. Look into the light.
No, I feel weary.
Look into the dagger.
Dagger? No. No, now! Ah!
Just as the king is about to thrust the dagger down into Rhianna's heart, the hall doors fly open, and in strides...
Wolf Angel!
Death and darkness. If that is all you desire, I will grant your wish.
Fool, why are you here?
Wolf Angel, we want death. Yes, yours. Banshee, no. He is demons.
The king holds the crystal dagger above his head and mumbles wickedly the words,
Arachnash!
The dagger begins to glow and rise into the air.
Fly! Fly! To the heart!
Look out, fool!
With no visible hand to guide it, the dagger flies toward Wolf Angel, just missing his heart.
That was close.
Again the dagger swoops toward Wolf Angel.
I'll block the weapon with my sword.
Wolf Angel's sword falls from his hand and clangs onto the stone floor.
Wolf Angel, demon's dagger, you will not escape. Soon, very soon.
My enemy's strength is his own weakness.
As the dagger swirls around, Wolf Angel backs himself up against the chamber doors. The dagger speeds toward him. Almost too late, Wolf Angel dives toward the floor, and the dagger sinks itself into the wooden door bracing. The dagger is still for a moment, and then begins to wiggle back and forth in the door.
Your dagger was not well aimed, demon.
But demon will win. Oh, yes, claws and chokes you he will. Ah!
The king jumps upon Wolf Angel, gripping his claws around the warrior's throat. In retaliation, Wolf Angel wraps his hands around the king's throat, hoping his strength will snap the wicked thing's neck.
Yield, demon, and I will spare you.
Demon yields to no one, foolish knight. Now feel the grip of death.
Never.
In desperation, Wolf Angel calls upon his last ounce of strength, pushing and twisting the king away from the altar.
Ah! The dagger!
His own dagger has betrayed him.
The king's claws go limp, and he falls face down onto the stone floor. Protruding from his back is the magic dagger. The dagger had broken free from the wooden door bracing and hurled itself toward Wolf Angel. As Wolf Angel twisted the king away from the altar, the dagger missed him and struck the Demon King.
Death has taken this demon. I'll need my sword. Back away from your king, Banshee. Away, I said, or you'll feel my sword. I want the dagger from his wretched body. There, he'll not be needing this. Rhianna, I'll cut you free. Come, take my hand.
Fool, I did not know you were... Oh, look, the demon's corpse. It's burning.
Let us hurry from here. I fear the tower will fall.
Wolf Angel and Rhianna run from the tower as sparks fly from the corpse of the Demon King. Without the king's magical power, the Banshee crumble and fade into nothingness.
Tears of joy streaked down the faces of King Randor and Queen Marlena when they saw their long-lost daughter.
Look at you. How lovely you are.
Oh, Mother, I'm so glad Adam brought me here.
Son, I want you to know that today you've made me the happiest man on all Eternia. The royal family of Eternia is whole once more. And by the ancients, I swear that nothing shall ever separate us again.
Meanwhile, in another part of Eternia, Hordak and his former pupil Skeletor put aside their old rivalries and teamed up again.
You know, Skeletor, your evil is almost a match for my own. Together we'll make life miserable for those Eternian fools. Why, it'll be just like the old days.
Yes, yes, just like the old days.
Thank you.
What now? No.
For purchasers of the cheaper version of this record, it has already ended. For purchasers of the executive version, there are 3 more minutes of this album. These 3 minutes are introduced personally by Sir Kenneth Clark.
Hello? This is a very nice record, this is. It's a very, very nice record. That's why I like it. Because it's very nice.
No, that was him. Yes. Oh, yes, what? Well, he had a bit of a cold. No, I promise you it was. Look, please, you'll miss the end of the story.
The Castle Arg. Our quest is at an end. God be praised. Almighty God, we thank thee that thou hast vouchsafed to us the most potent.
Jesus Christ!
Hello, deaf English kniggets and Monsieur Arthur King, who has the brain of a duck, you know. So, we French fellows outwit you a second time.
How dare you profane this place with your prince? I command you, in the name of the Knights of Camelot, to open the doors of this sacred castle to which God himself has guided us.
How you English say, one more time, Max. Unclog my nose in your direction, sons of a window dresser. So you think you could out-clever us French folk with your silly knees bent running about advancing behavior? I'll wave my private parts at your aunties, you cheesy lot of second-hand electric donkey bottom biters.
In the name of the Lord, we demand entrance to this sacred castle.
No chance, English bedwetting types. I burst my pimples at you and call your door-opening request a silly thing. You tiny-brained whoppers of other people's bottoms.
If you do not open this door, we shall take this castle by force. In the name of God and the glory of our... Right! That settles it!
Yes! Detach a lot of this town and can't be approaching anymore, or we fire arrows in the tops of your heads and make castanets out of your testicles already!
Walk away! Just ignore them!
No! Remain an illegitimate-faced bugger folk! And if you think you've got a nasty taunting this time, you ain't heard nothing yet, daffy English knigget!
Well, that's about it, really. The film ends mainly visually.